Krishna Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa chaham vitta lobhena prachakshe prachakshakshe katham vicham prati shrutya tadamiti prahadhi chitaro katha sachaham vitta lobhena prachakshakshe katham vicham prati shrutya tadamiti Prahadi chitaro yatha highly elevated devotees called sadhana Siddha and Kripa Siddha. Sadhana Siddha refers to one who has become a devotee by regular execution of the regulative principles mentioned in the Shastras, as ordered and directed by the spiritual master. If one regularly executes such devotional service, he will certainly attain perfection in due course of time. But there are other devotees who may not have undergone all the required details of devotional service, but who, by the special mercy of Guru and Krishna, the spiritual master, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, have immediately attained the perfection of pure devotional service. Examples of such devotees are the Yajnapatnis, Maharaj Prabhu, and Shukadeva Goswami. The Yajnapatnis were the wives of ordinary Brahmins engaged in fruitive activities. Although the Brahmins were very learned and advanced in Vedic knowledge, they could not achieve the mercy of Krishna Balaram, whereas their wives achieved complete perfection in devotional service, despite her being women. Similarly, Narvochani Bali Maharaj received the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, and by Prahlad Maharaj's mercy, he also received the mercy of Lord Vishnu, who appeared before him as a brahmachari brother. Thus, Bali Maharaj became a Kripa Siddha because of the special mercy of both Guru and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms this favor. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Bali Maharaj, by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, got the seed of devotional service. And when that seed developed, he achieved the ultimate fruit of that success, of that service, namely the love of God. Prema Kumarto Maharaj, immediately upon the appearance of Lord Vanadev. Bali Maharaj regularly maintained his devotion for the Lord, and because he was purified, the Lord appeared before him. Because of Vanaworld's love for the Lord, he then immediately decided, I shall give this little dwarf Brahman whatever he asks from me. This is a sign of love. Thus, Bali Maharaj is understood to be one who receives the highest perfection in devotional service and by special mercy. Om Jan Chinidandasya Jananjana Shulakaya Shakshurindiritam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovristam Sthapitam Jina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Tathati Shatadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Tathapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Radhanitam Samsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Radhita Shri Vishakhandatam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhau Deena Bandho Jagatpate Yopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishabhanu Sute Devi Brahman Ditti Lohina Prajat Rakshe Katam Vijam Pati Shrutya Vidami Ti Praradi Kitavo Yutha. Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Balad Maharaj, and that plays into this pastime in several ways. The first thing is that he says, since I'm the grandson of Balad Maharaj, how can I behave like an ordinary cheater? The Anaya Drishtam Asvargyam Akirti Karamarjan, Krishna, Lord Krishna, argued with Arjuna, how can you behave like this? You're supposed to be an Arya, a member of the advanced civilization. You're supposed to understand the higher values of life. You're supposed to value your reputation. And you're going to behave like this, an Arya? Narya Vishnama Svargyam Akirti Kanam? Svargyam Vasmarama Vata Svargyam Shudram Uvabhadyate Shudram Priyadavadhyam Chakshudras. How did this petty thoughts enter your consciousness? And he addresses him Partha. You're coming from a distinguished family, from my family, actually connected, from Jesus, the sister of Vasudeva. How can you behave like this? So there was a consideration that I have to honor the family tradition. I have to be a worthy son of the family. I shouldn't disgrace the family. I'm the grandson of, just at the birth of Prakshit Maharaj, the Yudhisthira Maharaj was inquiring from the Brahmins about his future. Will he be, in essence, will he be worthy, a worthy descendant of the family? Will he uphold religious principles? Will he be strong in the country? So, I'm the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, and you want me to behave like this? How is it possible? I have to honor my family tradition by pious deeds, and not disgrace the family by sinful actions. Ditto Lohina. It's not that I should be greedy. That's nothing. For the sake of material possessions, I sacrifice dharma. Rather, I should be prepared to sacrifice possessions for the sake of dharma. If I lose everything, anyway, it will be lost. One way or the other. But if by losing or giving away my possessions, I can honor religious principles and be regarded as a worthy son of the family, then that's good. Not the other way around. Sushaham Viti Lohina Prasha Chakshay Katam Vijam. I've already said yes, how can I turn around and say no? Especially to a Brahmin. I promise. Now promises are worth practically nothing. Even if you put it in writing, you have your lawyers, they'll figure some way out. But previously, men did business on their word only. If someone gave his word, that was enough. The expression is still there, a man of his word. And he gives his word a notch. So I've given my word and to a Brahmin. How can I, therefore Prabhupada used to point out to those who are taking vows, initiation especially, and you're promising in front of the fire, in front of the Lord, in front of the spiritual master, in front of the Vaishnavas, that means it's a serious business. I can't say, look, I didn't mean it, I didn't understand, that was 20 years ago, I was confused, I was young. No excuses. My godbrother Shesha Prabhu attended when he was younger the United States Military Academy. And he told me that the first thing you learned were three words. No excuses, sir. You know, the drill sergeant or whoever who says, why this, why that? No excuses, sir. An honorable person doesn't make excuses. He honors his word. So, Pati Shruti Dadamiti, I've said I'll give this land. How can I take back my word? How can I be like Mr. Nair? I'm not coming on that Mayan. I'm coming in the mind of Pramana Maharaj. I have to honor my word. Then the next thing is that how was it that he, although he's in a demonic family, showing this strong determination to serve the Lord? And that answer is given that it's the mercy of Prahlada Maharaj. Prahlada Maharaj was a devotee, and just by his desire, by his causeless mercy, the grandson receives the mercy of Krishna. We didn't see it till later, but at this point, now it comes. The Brahmandev, where Brahmandev comes before him, and Bali Maharaj decides, yes, I'm going to honor my word to him, even if I have to reject my Kula Guru. How was he able to reach such a... what's the word? Such a strong conclusion, such a dramatic conclusion, such a radical conclusion. It was by the mercy of Prahlada Maharaj. So, Prabhupada points out there are two ways of achieving advancement in devotional service. One is by following the regulative principles, sadhana. By following these principles, one can become perfect. Sadhana siddha. Patiently and with enthusiasm, following the rules and regulations in the association of devotees, will gradually attain perfection. We should have that confidence. That's the usual way of attaining perfection, but alternatively, or additionally, one may get the mercy of a pure devotee. Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, if one gets the mercy of a devotee, then he automatically surpasses the regulative principles, or the regulative principles become easier to follow, or more natural to follow, by the mercy of the devotee. It's not that a devotee achieves mercy and then he just ignores all the regulative principles. Hey, I got mercy, I don't have to follow these rules. No, he follows. The Goswamis were following these principles of sadhana more strictly than any ordinary man. And what is that in the Bhagavad Gita? Nāyata
That's all. That's what this is.
is sovereign. When one follows the instructions of the spiritual master, then, of course, mercy is involved even in sadhana. How are we going to follow sadhana without getting mercy? How do you even know about sadhana without getting mercy? And how do you get the inspiration and strength to follow the principles without mercy? So it's not entirely exclusive that you just perform sadhana without mercy. Mercy is required for sadhana also. Yaha prasade kai, what is that? By the mercy of the spiritual master, one can cross over into your existence. So the mercy can come either just he likes you and he blesses you. We saw one of my godbrothers had been Prabhupada's secretary for some time, Prabhupada's servant for some time. And then he left devotional service and he became quite degraded. He was living in San Francisco in a very degraded condition. But he, early in his career, he helped start the Krishna consciousness movement in Australia. So he was in San Francisco, he was living in degraded condition, and he had this AIDS also disease. And somehow the devotees in Australia found out that he's living like this, and they brought him to Australia. So then, just in his last weeks, by their encouragement, he was talking to them about Prabhupada, his experiences with Prabhupada, he was a good cook, so he was showing them all the different recipes Prabhupada had taught him, teaching them everything. Then I came to Australia. The night that I came to Australia, they said, he's in the next room, Upendra, that's no secret. Upendra's in the next room, he's dying. The Kaviraj, the doctor says he won't last the night. And it was heavy, this forced breathing. Yeah, so he's breathing, labored breathing like that, he's going to die. So they were, so I put my stuff away, I took my shower, I went to the next room, they were having kirtan. I also joined in the kirtan. And by that time he was already disconnected from this world, you know, he was not responding to external things. But he had one cane of Srila Prabhupada's and one sweater, but I remember a cane. He was holding on to that cane. And so kirtan is going on. Then just the last minute, he's holding on to this cane, and this very beatific, sweet smile crosses his face. It flooded his face, not just, you know, you could see he was like, he became effulgent, his consciousness was, you could see, manifest that he was something special. And then he left. So, although he hadn't been following for so long, but he'd rendered service to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was not ungrateful. So mercy is always required. We require the mercy of the spiritual master, we require the mercy of Krishna, we require the mercy of the devotees. One time Giriraj Maharaj said, we're all just mercy cases. And then he said it about himself, I'm just a mercy case. Anyway, like that, we require mercy. What is that?
Yamaha Hikaimola, Harinama Sankirtan. Just on my own power, I can't do Harinama Sankirtan. It requires the mercy of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, just even to chant Hare Krishna. The mercy is always in religion. Sometimes, is that okay?
One more question.
One more, huh?
Yeah, regarding this only. Sometimes it happens a devotee who has come into Krishna consciousness and is practicing initially before initiation. So he is finding difficulty in practicing sadhana. But after initiation, when he has rendered some service unto his spiritual master, it is found that he is able to perform sadhana nicely. So is that also means Kripa Siddha?
Sadhana, but where Prabhupada says that by the mercy of the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas, either one doesn't need, one surpasses the realm of sadhana, or sadhana becomes easier. So it's still sadhana siddhi, but made possible by mercy. Therefore, mercy is always in the equation. If you take mercy out of the equation, it doesn't work anymore.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna.
Maharaj, sometimes it is happened, but many times the neophyte stays in the early stages of Krishna consciousness. When we come, and especially from that background which doesn't have any worldly look, or we can say practically, he doesn't have worldly knowledge that much.
It doesn't have worldly knowledge.
Worldly knowledge. How to deal with others and
how to deal with
others, other people, other people.
Yeah.
So when we come in the association of devotee, then we often find the different kind of habits, different kind of tendencies of other devotees. And my mind actually seeing this tendency, it's decodes or judge the people. Judge.
What? Seeing these tendencies, what?
My mind is judges.
You start judging.
Judging. That may be because of pride or because of our thinking of high. So how we can be accommodative or...
There are different kinds of devotees. It's said in Nectar Instruction that one should understand one's position. There are devotees who are more advanced, there are devotees who are equally advanced, there are devotees who are less advanced. The less advanced devotees, we should be kind to. The more advanced devotees, we should serve. And devotees who are on our level, our own level, we should be friends with. So that's the first thing. Then within that friendly level, we may see that some have these habits, some have those habits, some have this tendency, some have that tendency. So that's variety, that's individuality. And you're free to associate with, especially with those whom you have some rapport with. That's up to you. We should honor all the devotees, but if you have if you click with some, I don't mean click like in a scotch click, it's quite impractical. If you have a natural feeling for some particular devotees, you have a sympathetic or like-mindedness, then you can associate with them. Not that you have to associate with people who you don't really have much in common with. But we have to honor them because we have the most important common thing in common. It's Krishna is the center of our life. But still, we may like to associate more with those who are in the same line of service or the same line of thought. That's all right. There's no harm. And if we see some devotees who are really bad in their activities, then the acharyas say we should honor them from a distance. Because devotional service may be mixed with goodness, with passion, with ignorance. When it's mixed with ignorance, then we should honor the person still because he's serving, but from a distance, because we don't want to get involved in his bad habits.
Maharaj, in this connection, just I want to clarify that with senior we can honor and we respect them, but with equal and junior, in the
of course we honor the even the what is that? Krishneti yasya. Giritam manasajyeta. Anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna, we honor him. Now that doesn't mean that when we see him, we fall on the pavement and throw flowers and all that. But we think he's chanting Hare Krishna. He's a Vaishnava. Manasajyeta. I should honor him. Amanina manine. I should honor all living entities, but especially I should honor a person who's chanting Hare Krishna. Dikshasti Chatibis. Person who's doing bhajan, who's received initiation, and who's doing service, following principles, to that person I should offer obeisances. I respect even the neophyte from within the mind. But if someone's initiated, he's chanting Hare Krishna, he's following the regular principles, obeisances. And shushushaya, bhajana vidya, ananya manya, mindhari shunya hidam ipsita, sandalabha. And someone whose heart is pure, he doesn't have a tendency to criticize others, he doesn't have a narcissist within his heart, he's expert in Krishna bhajan, that person I should seek to associate with and serve. These things we should learn from the mental instruction. Is that okay?
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
We said in the class, Bali Maharaj is the worthy grandson of Lord Maharaj. He is determined in his words to give free the land of earth. But when we see this is in the class, we give class and this is mentioned in Bhagavatam and Purport of the Acharya. But when we see in our personal life, even senior devotees, they change their words.
They change their words.
Words.
It means they give the word and they do something else, or they say something in the class and they don't act.
That's what they say.
Wait a second. I'm trying to understand your question. They say something in the class and they act differently?
Yeah.
Or they give the word and they take it back? Which are you saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Come say the message.
So my request is going to... No, Bahar, when they come out from the class...
I know, Bahar, but Bahar, kya? Which of the two?
They play tricks or so many things.
They play tricks or so many things, okay.
So how one can live if one can... One want to establish in his Krishna conscious life. So how one can survive in such a situation, such atmosphere? This is my way.
Second atmosphere, Krishna consciousness, how one can survive?
If you see that people are giving the class but then they're acting differently in such a situation, how can you survive? You survive by, when you give the class, follow what you say. We hope they survive also, but you should survive. So when you give the class, follow what you say. Is that okay? You can follow what they say, because if they're giving the class and saying the right thing, then follow it. And we should be a little slow to criticize also, because it's easy to find faults. But Prabhupada said, flies look for sores and bees look for nectar. So much fun. This is the summary. Details will take too much time, and I don't know the circumstance to give the details. That's the headline. I just gave you the headlines. Read them again. Okay. What do you think about the G?
So I just have two questions. One was one of the earlier questions you spoke about mercy, and you spoke about causeless mercy. And you said that how somebody, and also you gave this example of Upendra Prabhu, that how he received this mercy. So we all are made up of mercy. We all are actually unqualified, and even through sadhana or through causeless mercy, we are making substantial progress in spiritual life based on the mercy of other Vaishnavas. So my question was that when somebody is receiving that mercy, but that becomes the springboard for doing wrong things, when under the shelter and the support of receiving that mercy, you justify doing wrong. So that was my question, that is there any implication to this? Is it appropriate? Can we justify that?
We all depend on causeless mercy. We make substantial advancement on that.
But some devotees or somebody may take advantage of that mercy and maybe make wrong things.
Someone takes advantage of the mercy and does wrong things.
And so in that sense, both of those things that devotees are also in that situation of Kenya.
How to deal with that devotee? I was thinking about this some weeks ago, because one of my godbrothers, he wasn't really quite to the standard, but he received a lot of mercy from Prabhupada. Really a lot. And on some, because he wasn't following some guidelines, we gave him a real hard time. You're not acting properly. But in retrospect, I thought that give him some space, because he's done special service. It's not just you look in the rule book and you give your judgment. But if someone has done substantial service, then you have to consider that. He's not an ordinary person. He's done service. Or that you see that the spiritual master loved him. That's all. That's enough. He was one of Prabhupada's favorites. Doesn't matter. We have to give special consideration. Now, that doesn't mean that we're fools. That he says to do something against our principles and we have to do it because he got so much mercy from Prabhupada and he's doing it, so I'll also do it, even though it's against my vows. It doesn't mean we become fools like that. But still, we appreciate that this person is to be given special consideration. I'm not sure. cases, mercy cases, anyone who's done a substantial service. Could I do that service? What have I done before I criticize? Was I so dear to my spiritual master? Did I do so much service? You can think like that.
That was one question. The other question was just what he just asked. Raj Sundar, he asked the question that if somebody is speaking something in the class and they come out and they speak differently or do differently, my question was just a little different to that, that this verse is about giving your word, and you said in olden times the word was everything. So what about that? Like when you when somebody gives you a word and they go against the word.
Yes, so you had your question's different. You had the other half of my choice there. Someone gives his word, the devotee gives his word and then goes back on it. So then what to do? You say, ah. Take out your beads and show Hare Krishna. What can you do? We see it. That someone's a Vaishnava and still they do these things. So we should not do that. If we give, the man should be as good as his word. And his word should be unbreakable. Maharshi promised to give his life, promised to give protection to a pigeon that was being chased by an eagle. And the eagle complained that you're taking away my food. All right, I'll give you flesh from my body equal to the weight of the pigeon. So they weighed the pigeon, and the pigeon kept getting heavier and heavier, and finally the king put his own body on the scale. And I'll give my body for the pigeon. Why? Are you an idiot? You're going to give your life for a bird, a pigeon? No, I gave my word. Then eagle and pigeon showed they were demigods and everything was worked out. But just to set the example, this is how one's word should be kept. One gives his word, he can't take it back. Yes. And was this we're over time? No, we're on time. 1 minute. What time are we supposed to start? Okay. Another question. Yes.
Hare Krishna. My question is on this only. In Krishna consciousness, regarding when we do the services, then superiors use the services.
Because I do the services and superiors use the service.
Superior offers us services, then because of our misunderstanding in communications or not understanding proper details of services, we give some commitment that this service.
We give some
commitments.
Yes.
Commitment that this particular service will be done in this much time or in this way. But because of our inability or something, some problems in doing services, that commitments is not fulfilled. So here it may be looks in this principle that we are giving the words but not fulfilling that.
Therefore, you give a commitment but you didn't understand what you were committing to, so you didn't fulfill it. Therefore, before you give your word, understand what you're doing. Before you, like in business. Before you make a deal, read the contract. Have your lawyer read the contract. Understand everything that's in the contract. Then sign. Not that you sign blindly. Or if someone gives an assignment and you don't think you understand, I don't understand. Please explain. Roy, is Thursday all right? You know, do you want it Friday or is Thursday all right? Tuesday or is Thursday all right? Get the instructions clear. And then say, I'll do it, or that I can't do. I can do it by Friday, but I can't do it by Tuesday. Just be clear.
Maharaj, in this, because service is done late because of our lower tendencies.
So don't take it seriously. You committed to a service. You said you were going to do it. Now do it. No excuses, sir. That's the value of the commitment. You made a commitment. Now you have to, you know, you thought, blah, 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 but now you have to do it. No sleeping. No wasting time. You have a commitment. Meet it. That's what a respectable person does. He commits, and then he makes his commitments. He doesn't go to sleep.
In terms of making decisions and making commitments.
Certainly, yes, commitments, yes.
Suppose a devotee acts on the behalf of another superior devotee and gives a word to someone which he has received from his own superior, and he as a spokesperson.
On behalf of a superior, he gives his word.
His word, what he has received from his superior.
That he has.
What? The word which he has received from his superior, he as a representative or spokesperson gives to others. And then because of certain circumstances, if the superior is not able to keep the word, and then this representative has to convey to others that now that word is not able to fulfill. So how to do that? Should the representative should put the blame on the superior, telling that because he is not able to keep, that's why I am not able to keep? Or how he should present to the others so that the blame may not go to the superior?
Can you give a summary of that? Sounds like a, it's just a technical question.
It's just a So, it's ready for me.
Okay, I make a promise, and you tell somebody that, okay, I've got that. Now I can't fulfill the promise. It has to do with what you told them to begin with. Did you say that you were promising on your own? Did you say you were promising for him? I'm not going to sort this question out. It's too specific. You have to. This is like, you know, rabbis or you know, sages. They get together and they say, well, from one point of view this, and then from the other point of view that. Then you have to consider here that this and that. those who will spend the afternoon unpacking the case, and our time has run out.